Herzlich willkommen zur Klangkunst im Deutschlandfunk Kultur. Heute mit einer Sendung in der Reihe Continuum. Unter dieser Überschrift vergeben Deutschlandfunk Kultur und ORF Kunstradio in Zusammenarbeit mit dem CTM Festival Berlin den Auftrag, ein Hörstück für ein ganzes Jahr zu komponieren. Dieser Klangstrom, der online 7 Tage die Woche 24 Stunden am Tag gesendet wird, kommt beim Deutschlandfunk Kultur immer dann zum Einsatz, wenn ein Hörspiel oder ein Feature kürzer sind als der jeweilige Sendeplatz. Seit über 20 Jahren gibt es im Deutschlandfunk Kultur Formate, die diese Lücke künstlerisch gestalten. Zunächst das Geräusch des Monats, dann die Sonorisationen und nun die Reihe Continuum. Sie werden live dabei sein beim Umschalten vom Vorgängerprojekt der Zukunftsmusik zum neuen Projekt Ahnen in Arbeit. Ahnen in Arbeit von Jonathan Chaim Reuss ist das 3. generative Radiostück in dieser Reihe. Aber zunächst verabschiedet sich die Society for Non-Trivial Pursuits und lädt sie ein, ihrer Zukunftsmusik auf zukunftsmusik.radio auch in Zukunft weiterhin zu folgen.
Zukunftsmusik.
I think that the future is extremely exciting. I'm very much looking forward to the future and all the events that may or may not happen for me.
My forecast for the future
is that things are happening. I always say, if I think
who knows what the future examines, what it is that we want for our lives and for each other. Something good will definitely come up.
At least for myself, it's a lot of good energy. Yeah.
I remain hopeful for the future because we are all being forced to really re-examine what it is that we want for our lives and for each other. Something good will definitely come of it.
Voces futuras.
Am Ende wird alles gut. Und wenn es noch nicht gut ist, dann ist es noch nicht das Ende.
Auch die schönste Zukunft hat irgendwann ein Ende.
In the end, I believe in repetition.
Auch die schönste Zukunft hat irgendwann ein Ende.
Mit diesem Zitat von Alberto de Campo verabschiedet sich die Society for Non-Trivial Pursuits nach einem Jahr von ihnen und übergibt das Zepter an den Gewinner des diesjährigen Continuum Calls, an Jonathan Chaim Reuss, dessen generatives Radiostück Ahnen in Arbeit, In Search of Good Ancestors, von nun an ein ganzes Jahr lang online zu hören sein wird. Die Zukunftsmusik wird auf der Projektwebsite zukunftsmusik.radio weiterhin senden und das neue Stück Ahnen in Arbeit, In Search of Good Ancestors, ist unter folgender Internetadresse zu finden: ahnen.in. Corona-bedingt haben die Gespräche mit Jonathan Chaim Reuss online stattgefunden. Mein Name ist Anne Wellmer. Jonathan Chaim Roes, geboren 1982 in den USA, ist Medienkünstler, Performer, Coder, Theoretiker, Musiker und Komponist, der seit vielen Jahren in Den Haag in den Niederlanden lebt. In seinem künstlerischen Schaffen spielen Computercode und unterschiedlichste Technologien eine poetische und immer auch eine politische Rolle. Laptop Music ist eine Serie von Improvisationen, in denen Roes mit elektromagnetischen Spulen die Energieemission seines Laptops während der Nutzung hörbar macht. Aus der Serie Laptop Music hören wir MacBook Pro 8.2 aus dem Jahr 2012. In seinem aktuellen generativen Stück für Radio, Ahnen in Arbeit, In Search of Good Ancestors, lässt Jonathan Chaim Roes jene Stimmen zu Wort kommen, die nachhaltiges Denken propagieren. In einem sich ständig wandelnden Gedankenstrom werden Stimmen sprechen und singen, die sowohl eine kognitive als auch eine ethische Erneuerung vorantreiben. Für Ahnen in Arbeit hat sich der Künstler Jonathan Chaim Roes von dem Gedanken inspirieren lassen, dass wir alle nicht nur Vorfahren haben, sondern selber auch Vorfahren für die uns folgenden Generationen sind. Während eines Interviews, das John mit den in Amsterdam lebenden Musikern des Ensembles Black Harmony machte, hatte ihm der Leiter des Ensembles Nana Lando Seder von der traditionellen afro-surinamesischen Lebensform Winti erzählt, in denen Ahnen eine zentrale Rolle spielen, sowohl die Ahnen aus der Vergangenheit als auch unsere eigene Rolle als Ahnen in der Zukunft. Auf der Suche nach Texten zu diesem Thema stieß Reuss auf den Vortrag des Virologen Jonas Salk, Are We Being Good Ancestors?, einem Vortrag, den der Erfinder des Polio-Impfstoffs ursprünglich 1975 zu einer Preisverleihung gehalten hatte. Die Frage, die Salk im Titel seines Vortrags stellt, Sind wir gute Vorfahren?, liegt dem vorliegenden Stück Ahnen in Arbeit zugrunde.
It's about hopefully encouraging people who experience the piece to reflect a bit on what it means to them to make decisions with an awareness of how their decisions influence the future. And this sort of reflection is for me embodied very strongly in this lecture by Jonas Salk, the American virologist, where he asks, what does it mean to be a good ancestor? And what it means to behave with an eye to the future, or with an ear to the future, or with a mind to the future, knowing that your decisions have an impact on those who may live beyond your life, or not only humans, but also animal species, ecologies, and so on. And I really first encountered this during a project I was working on last year, which had to do, strangely enough, with the history of the American banjo. Because I'm a banjo player also, and I was doing a big project about sort of the connection of the banjo to, all kinds of migrations of people, both voluntary and involuntary. So through this project, I was connecting with local, in the Netherlands, Afro-Surinamese musicians. And I was particularly talking to one musician. He's the leader of a voice and drum ensemble called Black Harmony. His name is Nana Lando. And I was asking him about, like, you know, where does his musical inspirations come from in the music that he makes? And he makes music which is very deeply inspired by Winti, a way of life that has a very strong sort of spiritual elements to it. And he was telling me, in Winti, it's very important to connect to the ancestors and to always think, you know, I'll be an ancestor soon, you'll be an ancestor. And he was telling me about this kind of cosmology, and that's when I first started getting really interested in this idea of thinking about being part of a lineage, thinking about being an ancestor in the present. And then as I started to just read more about that, I came across Jonas Salk's idea of the good ancestor, and I thought that was a really interesting place to start from with this work. So I was thinking, well, you know, where can we bring that kind of thinking from, where can we find that kind of thinking in a Western tradition, so that it's a little bit more maybe relatable, or doesn't come with this kind of exoticism.
Wir leben in einer Zeit, in der kurzfristiges Denken die kulturelle Norm ist. Die Beschleunigung der Informationsströme wird in den sozialen Medien noch verschärft. Es bleibt wenig Zeit und Raum für Reflexion, Vorausdenken oder gar Schweigen. Diejenigen, die sich in den sozialen Medien für vorausschauendes, langfristiges und nachhaltiges Denken einsetzen, werden von einem reißenden Strom schnelllebiger Gedanken übertönt. Jene Stimmen treiben sich gegenseitig voreinander her. In dieser Hektik bleibt nur ein Bruchteil eines Augenblicks, um zu sprechen, gehört zu werden oder den anderen zuzuhören.
The Continuum call gave me this opportunity to, as they say, modulate a single channel for the whole year. And then I thought, well, what a great thing it would be if this single channel was just saying the same thing throughout the whole year. But it would have to be something very important. And I was thinking, well, this question of what it means to be a good ancestor is probably something I at least have started to kind of ask myself quite often. Even sometimes on a, like each day, I ask myself this. And it's living with that question has kind of caused me to reflect a little bit on my own behaviors and my own decisions and my own actions. And then I thought in some small way, maybe focusing really on people who have spoken about these sorts of long-term thinking ideas and really just having a signal that's dedicated to that throughout the year maybe gives a different kind of time, a different kind of information landscape. What I'm hoping will be the audience engagement, at least for some audience with the stream, is that they come back to it just to have something to sit with. And the changes maybe are not so noticeable in the short term time scale, but that if you leave it for a little bit and come back to it, you'll realize, oh, things have changed. You know, things have changed, but I don't know how. I didn't witness the getting from A to B, but I know I'm now in B and not at A anymore. And that requires some kind of ongoing engagement, which is what I'm hoping audience members will want to contribute.
Für die multimedialen und interaktiven Arbeiten seiner Duopartnerin, der Künstlerin Sissel Mariton, ist Jonathan Reim-Reus für alles, was klingt, verantwortlich. Eine ihrer jüngsten Arbeiten ist Sphagnum Time, eine audiovisuelle Installation aus dem Jahr 2021, in der drei Moorleichen, die von den Torfstechern des 20. Jahrhunderts nicht gefunden wurden, murmeln, singen und erzählen. Vor Tausenden von Jahren dem Moor zum Opfer gefallen, haben sie eine neue Form der Subjektivität jenseits des Menschlichen erlangt. Eine, die sich über die ökologischen Umstände hinaus erstreckt, deren Teil sie wurden. Saures Wasser, Torfmoose, eingeschlossenes Methangas und die bakteriellen Ökosysteme, die das Moor erhalten. Das visuelle Ausgangsmaterial für die Figuren besteht aus fotogrammetrischen Scans von Moorleichen aus dem Moosgaard-Museum in Dänemark und dem Drenz-Museum in den Niederlanden. Gesungen und gesprochen wird der Soundtrack von Stephanie Pan und Florian de Bakere.
Yes. Do you remember when we met?
I remember becoming
something else. I remember my blood leaving my body, seeping into the bog, slowly. Sour water penetrating my skin, filling my lungs, the life forms inside me dying out. The moss growing slowly, closer and closer around me, until it was tight, cradling my body. Then new kinds of organisms crossed over the boundary of my skin, working together with the moss to make me a part of this environment. Together we became something else, the other world, human and peat moss and acid-loving microbes and the bubbles of gas bursting into flames.
The connection between this work and Sphagnum Time, I think, is more in just it's really a shift in my focus of becoming very, very interested in exploring voice. Because I've for many, many years I did nothing. I've never really done anything with voice except a very long time ago when I was like in bands and things like that, folk doing folk music and stuff like this. But to really focus on voice so attentively in my compositional and my artistic practice, I think Sphagnum Time is maybe the first, let's say, significant work that's arisen from that kind of exploration. Maybe also the installation I made with the tape machines and these kind of reconstructed voices of Samuel Beckett and Morton Feldman. These are both kind of part of this let's say transition into being really interested in voice. And I think that started a few years ago when I was a resident artist at the IEM in Graz, and there I was working on a big, much bigger project called Algorithms That Matter, which had a number of different artists coming for residencies and exhibitions and concerts and all of this kind of stuff. And there I started getting really interested in storytelling. And I think being interested in storytelling has really brought me closer and closer to wanting to be making work that involves voice.
Like a map of the basement rock. stretching out beneath the landscape. It carried me and seeped into every strain of hair. My body registered.
Counting the layers of my bones, the tree rings of my body, absorbing and leaking minerals, chemicals,
isotopes.
Seit John vor einigen Jahren seine Faszination für das Storytelling, das Erzählen von Geschichten, entdeckt hat, spielen Stimmen aller Art, menschliche, tierische und künstliche Stimmen in seiner Arbeit eine immer größer werdende Rolle. In Sphagnum Time hatte Roes die Gelegenheit, mit zwei StimmkünstlerInnen intensiv zu arbeiten und das Instrument Stimme gut kennenzulernen. Für das aktuelle Projekt verwendet er ausschließlich künstliche Stimmen und er nutzt künstliche Intelligenz, um seinen computergesteuerten Rundfunksender, den er liebevoll den Broadcaster nennt, selbstständig gestalterisch tätig sein zu lassen. Er lässt seinen Broadcaster anhand von vorgegebenen Textbeispielen neue Texte formulieren und eigenständig kombinieren, um diese dann von künstlichen Stimmen sprechen und singen zu lassen.
And of course, one of the things that's unique is that you can have an artificial voice speaking 24/7 throughout an entire year. So it's quite an interesting format, I think, for artificial voice.
Ahnen in Arbeit wird sich im Laufe des Jahres stets weiterentwickeln. In Workshops mit ausgesuchten Teilnehmerinnen sollen Texte erarbeitet und weiterentwickelt werden, mit dem die singenden und sprechenden Algorithmen gespeist werden sollen. Die künstliche Intelligenz wird auch mit Schreibfehlern und Variationen konfrontiert werden, die beim Versuch, sie auszusprechen, unweigerlich zu poetischer Stimmakrobatik führen, bis hin zu abstrakten Gesängen.
Possible futures from novels such as The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. In one of the first attempts. On coastlines that will be shutting nuclear facilities that could face meltdown. All herself, and for that fleeing needing umbrella. Umbrellas. version or model.
Version
was companion features added since they found that this was a situation. Originally, the low systems were only to be left in totally deserted places. Just sitting along. Collect.
His daily
so I can hear the coins clink.
Using your skills
to whirl,
even if you don't like it,
like
is a far better adaptation.
Jonathan Chaim Reus Interesse gilt insbesondere den nicht klassifizierbaren Aspekten von komplexen Systemen. Welche Möglichkeiten eröffnen dynamische Systeme und woran scheitern sie?
There's a deep learning model that's doing the text generation, and this is I guess you would call it a predictive or autoregressive, to use the scientific term, model, which means that it tries to predict the next best symbol or word or sentence or paragraph based on what has come in the past, what it's experienced in the past. So such a model needs to be given some initial conditions, and then it will attempt to predict what comes after that based on whatever knowledge it's been trained on. And in this case, I'm going to be using one of the GPT models that was released by a company called OpenAI. This is a transformer sequence-to-sequence model, which is kind of, I guess it's the state-of-the-art design at the moment, but with deep learning, the state-of-the-art seems to change every year. At the moment, it's the state-of-the-art. And this text model has been trained on, I don't even know the size of the data set, but it's billions and billions of text scraped from the web, scraped from audio, or scraped from books, scraped from et cetera. Huge amount of English language that it's been trained on. So it's able to more or less construct meaningful extrapolations in English of some sort of initial conditions. And in this case, I'm giving it the initial conditions of this lecture by Jonas Salk on how can we be good ancestors. So this is the starting conditions, and this is the text model.
Mostly worthless functional electronic bits. It's the oddest mystery and detritus of a Morse code machine.
Mostly the global financial system, and yet ended up bailing out the banks.
It is a mistake that cannot be repeated.
Thank you. which politicians can link immediate political capital, such as dealing with ecological. A second factor, power of special interest.
Then the idea will be that through these workshops that happen through the year, we'll kind of collectively intervene on the text that's been generated. So we'll kind of like read through it together, we'll annotate it together, and then we will then feed new information or new priors into the system in order to kind of shepherd it into a different direction. And maybe make its writing, what it says a bit more complex or problematize it a bit, or simply move it in a different direction. Maybe we wanted to start talking about something else, like maybe it's not speaking enough about intergenerational representation, or maybe it's not diverse enough and we want to include sources from outside of the Western tradition. I mean, this is all quite open. So actually, I mean, a big part of this work is that it is an open process that sort of unfolds over the year.
Discovering a cure for cancer following the principles of religion. The astronomer Sagan argued that whole societies should also adopt to tell.
Failure is definitely a huge interest of mine, and usually when I get very interested in new mediums, and be it you know, a digital technology or an electronic technology, or even just musical instruments. Like I'm always wanting to find new musical instruments to play, because I love this experience of not really having been fully trained. And so you get this object that you know is made to make some beautiful sound, and then you have to kind of bang it against things and figure out what it can do. And I think this same fascination is what brings me to different technological media, and that's why I think the first thing I do when a medium, in some of my work I use kind of obsolete Apple computers or using radio, like body-to-body radio and transmitters, or in this case, using artificial intelligence systems. I think the first thing I want to do is, you know, as if I've found a new piece of wood, and I'm curious what it sounds like. I start banging it against things, and I think what I do in a lot of my work is sort of the high technology equivalent of that, of really banging the material against things and seeing where it breaks, seeing where it fails, seeing what is capable of. And I think this also returns to the idea of what your brain and body are doing when you're running. Because I like this kind of, you said like on the edge. I like this feeling, I mean, in my music, in my performances, of being kind of on the edge of something, not necessarily falling apart or failing, but on the edge of something always kind of transforming. And I like this idea of running as a kind of metaphor for that also, because you're kind of always on the edge of being in balance. You know, in the language of these complex systems, you would say that you're at an instable inflection point, where one little nudge could send the system into chaos. And I really like finding these points, because I find that they're incredibly powerful, both in terms of finding unique aesthetics. So it's obviously like a way of finding really interesting aesthetics, but also as a kind of poetic message, to work with these kind of points of, yeah, at being at the brink of something, being at the edge of something, rather than thinking of it only as failure. Because I mean, for example, to take an example, I've been doing performances for years where I take a running computer from the late 90s and literally disassemble it while it's running, and use these kind of amplifying probes to pull sounds out of the electronics while it's running different pieces of software, tapping into because everything is generating a signal, and if you amplify it, it becomes sound. And I mean, at any time, the whole thing could set on fire, of course. At any time, the object, as I'm taking it apart, is challenging me to be incredibly present and be incredibly aware, because I'm always sort of in this position of, as Andy Clark says, surfing uncertainty. It's like surfing the uncertainty of what comes next and being ready for it, to either let it take me in a new direction, or put me into a situation where I have to react in order to stabilize things enough that the concert or the piece can continue. So I think there's always that aspect in my work, even in situations like this project, where I am working so hard to build a stable platform, because it's a stable platform which then becomes a foundation for higher level experimentation, which can have this kind of feeling of instability. And I think that's what I'm trying to achieve for the launch, is just to have this kind of foundation for this kind of more, let's say, more unstable experimentation to happen. And in the case of AI, and especially these big deep learning systems, there's a lot of infrastructure that has to go into a place. There's a lot of server setups and computer setups and multiple parts that need to communicate. And this is really an act of David Tudor calls it composing hardware. I maybe call it composing software. It's like, really, you know, this idea that you are building infrastructure in a way, like David Tudor was building his own electronic instruments. And there is an infrastructural process to that, but you're also kind of setting some of the foundations for compositional processes to happen and for further explorations to be possible. And I think that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Spreading his arms. gains what we aim.
Still coming all along
from 9/11 to the rise of Tinker's Army, we appeal to her,
as Yuval Noah suggests, intent
was relatively easy
to grab a
tire of stream ecology with a feel for why.
Intent was relatively easy to grab.
Count. Is it feasible to grant rights to people who are not even alive or able to claim them? While there are grand laws to protect us, we make the taking of vulgar responsibility inevitable. The device is a clock, very big and very slow. 14 the clock, which is designed to stay accurate for millennia, will be too late. He's concerned that she be handled negatively, like the evidence of the growing global phenomenon. You shouldn't use tools like school children. They want to learn about them. For humankind. As the economist put it in the early 1970s, anyone believes that nine buildings may have infuriated mainstream economists, but it signals the rise of a new...
It is about anything, it is about that. It's about hopefully encouraging people who experience the piece to reflect a bit on what it means to them to make decisions with an awareness of how their decisions influence the future. And this sort of a reflection is for me embodied very strongly in this lecture by Jonas Salk, the American virologist, where he asks, what does it mean to be a good ancestor? And what it means to behave with an eye to the future, or with an ear to the future, or with a mind to the future. Knowing that your decisions have an impact on those who may live beyond your life, or not only humans, but also animal species, ecologies, and so on.
There is saying in the West, says Jonas Salk, we cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors. There is saying in the West, says Jonas Salk, we cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors. There is saying in the West, says Jonas Salk, we cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors. There is saying in the West, says Jonas Salk, we cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors. There is saying in the West, says Jonas Salk, we cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors. There is saying in the West, says Jonas Salk, we cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors.
West, says Jonas Salk.
We can choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors.
Auf der Website ahnen.in wird ab jetzt für ein Jahr ununterbrochen gesendet.
Im Hörspiel- und Feature-Programm von Deutschlandfunk Kultur erscheint Ahnen in Arbeit immer dann, wenn am Ende einer Sendung noch etwas Zeit bleibt.
So wie jetzt.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, sagt Anne Wellmer.
There is a saying in the West, says Jonas Salk. We cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors. There is saying in the West, says Jonas Salk. We cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors. There is saying in the West, says Jonas Salk. We cannot choose our parents, but we can choose our ancestors.
Watching my country wash away like that. Everything changed. The mangoes had suddenly gone. Even the trees had not. We learned news that the other parts of the country were underwater, and at first we didn't believe it. How was it possible? Madagascar is so big, and Nosy Fali, which we... Hapitia has short-term dopamine feedback loops that we have created. Later, the college had needed for the job, and the students have been dining happily. It's a wonderful story. The only problem is that it isn't true. It seems so. earned to make a gondole.
But by the time
he
was a master
with both his having left for the mainland,
I'd like it if she was still here.
He can't seem to work any. The city arose, flourished, and eventually declined. Unfortunately, only my wobbly reflection can spend her life in the ever-rising...